As we prepare for our gospel lesson this morning, friends, you may want to call your kids into the room, because after the scripture lesson, we have a special treat. Someone else did a children's sermon and not me, which is definitely going to be a special treat for all of the kids. So let's bow our heads together and pray our prayer for illumination. God of life, your Spirit raised Jesus from dead. Your Spirit inspired the prophets and writers of Scripture. Your Spirit draws us to Christ and helps us to acknowledge Him as Lord. We ask that you will send your Spirit now to give us deeper insight, encouragement, faith, and hope through the proclamation of the Easter Gospel. Amen.
Our scripture lesson comes from Acts 2, verses 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
The second reading of the day comes to us from the Gospel according to John, the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 10. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and to have it full. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our children's sermon this morning comes to us from the Esheis family, Hank, Petra, Yoel, and Rebecca. Thanks to them for sending this in. A little bit of a new thing for us here. So if it goes well, we invite others to submit things, and we would love to have as much participation as possible.
Hey, the bell. Oh my goodness, look at this, Hank, look at this.
What is it?
Is my absolute favorite candy. Did you order that for me?
Surprise.
Well, thank you. I know everybody in my family likes it, but I'm just gonna, like, keep these all for myself. So I'll hide them in my bedroom and eat them by myself every day.
Let's check the bedroom.
You know, this doesn't feel good. Let's do this again. remember this candy, guys?
It's so long since I had one.
Yeah. I know, right? That's what you have now with COVID. You have to wait so long for everybody. Okay. Anyway, this is our very last one. Just gonna break it up in 3 pieces so we can all have a piece. And you know, I ordered it on Amazon.
Yeah,
like 6 weeks ago.
Well, it took longer than 6 weeks for all the other stuff to arrive. Yeah. So,
but this is the last one, so let's enjoy it.
Cheers.
Whilst we wait for the new bag to arrive. So good, right?
Delicious.
Okay, guys. Well, that's really good, right?
Yeah. Too bad it's the last one.
I know.
Don't know how long we're gonna have to wait.
I know.
For the next one.
But we'll wait together.
Yep.
Now let's just go to the dishes.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll close the door. Oh,
look at that. What is it?
Guys! Looks like our delivery came.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It only took us 6 weeks to get it.
That's your favorite job then.
Yeah.
Yay!
So, that was fun, right? What do you think would make me enjoy the candy the most? When I have to go up secretly to my room every day to eat one all by myself, all alone, making sure that nobody knows that I'm actually eating them? Or would it be more fun if we enjoy them together every day? Like the kids and I, we have a candy every day, or maybe even two every day. When would I enjoy them more? And I think you all know the answer. It's much more fun to eat candy together with your friends, your siblings, everybody. And that's kind of what today's Bible lesson is about. So Pastor Chris is going to talk about the first churches, people who met together just after Jesus was resurrected. And the churches were not really like we do church now. They just met together and they ate bread together. Maybe they even ate candy together. And when you do things together like that, it's called community. And Jesus likes us to live in community. Because when you're in community, the fun things become more fun. And the hard things, or the things that are not so fun, like waiting for candy, becomes just a little bit easier because you can share it together. I'm going to just read a few Bible verses of what Pastor Chris is going to read today as well. And it says, all the believers were together. They had everything in common. And then I skip a little bit, and then it says, they broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for candy, for other yummy things. And we thank you for being able to share good things together, but we also thank you that we can share difficult things together. And so today we pray that in everything you will teach us what it is to be people who live in community with each other and with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks to Petra and Hank and Yoel and Rebecca for participating in today's service. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I was reflecting this week about how the longer this goes on, the more and more I miss being together with other believers. I mean, don't get me wrong, the folks that live in my house are great. You know, I really love them. I usually enjoy spending time with them. But as much as I love the four other people that are here in the room with me today as well, I would love nothing more than to be in the room with so many others. I'm grateful for the opportunity to participate virtually, but there's something that is ingrained into our humanity that longs for relationship, that longs for community. It's ingrained into us from the moment that God breathed life into the first human's lungs, thereafter fashioning him out of clay. God said, it's not good that the human should be alone, and so introduces him to different companions, animals. And though the human names each one of them, none of them is a suitable helper for him, a suitable companion for him. And so God puts him into a deep sleep and slices him in half and covers up the places where the cuts were made, and male and female. And finally, a suitable helper is made, another person that is like the first person. From that time, we have known that community is what we are made for, and so it's painful for us when we're cut off from that community. A few weeks ago, if you remember back, before we were barred from being together, we heard the story from John's Gospel about the man who was born blind. He is born blind, and Jesus asks him what he would like. And the man says that he wants to see. And God restores his sight. And when Jesus restores his sight, he is also restored back into the community. His disability, the stigma that came with his disability, has kept him from being able to fully participate in the life of the community. And so now, receiving his sight, he is welcomed into the community of Jesus' disciples. And from that day on, he decides to follow Jesus. He becomes one of Jesus' disciples. And this story from John 10, the saying from Jesus, is right after the story of the man born blind. There's no break. Jesus is explaining what he has done. And he talks about himself as shepherd and door. He is a shepherd. He calls his disciples by voice. They hear his voice. They recognize him and they follow. The image that I always have of shepherds are those who drive sheep from behind using a staff or sheepdogs to chase the sheep to where they want to go. But in the Middle East, that's not the way that shepherds perform their duties. They lead from the front. They speak. The sheep recognize their voice and they follow. Now, they're sheep, so sometimes they go astray, but it's a very different image, isn't it? The voice of the good shepherd calling to the sheep and the sheep following them. And Jesus says to those who are listening to him, all of those who came before me were thieves. They were looking to steal and destroy, but I am the door. Doors function in two ways, by the way. We all have doors in our houses, and what do our doors have on them? They have locks, that's right. We lock the door because we're afraid that someone is going to break into our house. On the back of our house, leading into our kitchen, we have a door with a lock for the handle and a deadbolt, which is interesting because the door is made of glass. So one well-placed foot and the person's going to come right through. I don't know what we think we're protecting by actually locking the door. The place is filled with windows. Anyone who is listening knows that you can probably walk right in anytime. But it gives us the illusion of safety and security against the unknown of the outside world. But that's only one way that doors function. Doors actually have two functions. They keep people out, yes, but they also welcome people in. And I think that's also what Jesus is saying here. He's saying that as the door, as the gate into the sheepfold, he is looking to welcome others in. And that's what he does with the man who was born blind. He restores his sight and welcomes him into a new fold. So when we look at what is happening in the book of Acts, we see a community that is welcoming people in by hundreds and thousands. When Peter stands and preaches on that first Pentecost, when the Spirit rushes in and fills him and he speaks words from the Psalms and from the prophet Joel, he declares the good news of Jesus Christ. That even though the people in that room may have been complicit in Jesus' death, that there is forgiveness and new life because of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. And they are baptized, and 3,000 are welcomed in. So it's later on that day when we learn that the disciples gather in their homes. They welcome each other into each other's homes. And they do some things when they gather together. They attend to the apostles' teaching. They attend to fellowship. They break bread together. And they have all things in common with each other. Now, early on in my ministry, I would get really excited by this vision of the church in Acts 2. It's this lovely sort of utopian idea that we're all going to gather together and we're all going to pool our resources into one place and everyone is going to have their needs taken care of. It was necessary in the early church for them to do this, by the way, because as we learned from our study in Revelation this week, for those of you who took a look, and if you didn't, they're posted on our website and on our Facebook page. You can go back and look. But being a part of the early church meant that a lot of times you could not participate in the life of secular society. And so in order for the church to survive, in order for the people to have their needs taken care of, they needed to be in true and full community with one another. They needed to sell their possessions and pool things together in order for them to survive. It's this image that we get from parts of the Old Testament, especially in the book of Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, where God, while the people are wandering in the wilderness, gives them food to eat, manna and quail. And those who need a lot, they gather a lot, but it's not too much. And those who don't need as much gather a little, but it's never too little. Each gathers exactly what they need, and that's exactly what God provides to them. That's the image of community here in Acts 2. That the people, regardless of their poverty or their wealth, no one has too much, no one has too little, and all of their needs are taken care of because they are a part of this community. There are times, I think, when we look at passages like here in Acts 2, and we think to ourselves, the apostles were in charge of this. They were the ones who were teaching, and everyone else, they were passive participants. They would gather, the apostles would teach, and then they would break bread together, and they would eat, and they would have fellowship. But I contend that apostles are more than just the 12. The word apostle in Greek means one who is sent. So we have to tie this in to what we heard last week and the week before from Jesus. As the Father has sent me, so I have sent you. Jesus gives that blessing and that mission to each one of us. We also are among those who are sent. We also are among those who are apostles. And so, we not only come to church in order to receive teaching, but in receiving the teaching, we too are challenged and charged to be teachers to one another. This week, I mentioned this on Tuesday during our psalm time, we lost a dear friend, professor, mentor of mine, Reverend Dr. Greg Mast. He is actually the second seminary professor of mine who has died from the coronavirus. And so, Greg's death, Al Jansen's death, they have caused me to reflect on my own calling, on how I am called to be a leader in the church. Greg was one who would always speak a word of encouragement. I saw on Facebook that someone told a story about Greg, and I remember a similar conversation that I had with him too, where Greg sat him down and said, "Michael, God has a plan for your life. Would you like me to tell you what that plan is? God has a plan for our lives. And as apostles, as those who are sent out, we need to be in the business of teaching one another and interpreting for one another what that call is and what that mission is, what it means for us to be sent into the world. For me today, it means that I teach. It means that I speak into your lives." Talking about this abundant community that is promised to those who are part of the sheepfold of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Proclaiming this good news about a community at a time when we can't physically gather together. At a time when we're isolated from each other. But friends, can we get excited about what might be on the other side of this? We are sort of in that in-between time. Back during Holy Week, I talked about a month of Holy Saturdays. In between the time of Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection. So too, we are sort of in this time of Eastertide. Between the time when Jesus is resurrected and the time when the Holy Spirit comes, the disciples, they don't really understand what it is they're supposed to be doing. They're in this period of waiting. They know that the Spirit is going to come. Jesus has promised them that, and yet it hasn't. And so a couple weeks ago, we found them locked in a room because they were afraid to go outside. Today, guys and gals, we can be making plans for what our life is going to look like on the other side of this. For too long, we as a church have relied on someone else to teach us, to receive something, and then to leave and go out into the world. We have not invested deeply in each other's lives. We have not broken bread together. We have not attended to our fellowship with one another. We've gotten what we need, and then we've left and gone out the door, and that can't be. Jesus says in this lesson of the Good Shepherd, he says, "Others came to steal and destroy, but I have come that you might have life. Life in abundance." Almost 12 years ago now, members of Union Reformed Church and Second Reformed Church sat down and planned out together what their life was going to look like together. And the name that they rested upon was Abundant Life Reformed Church. After John 10, verse 10, I have come that they might have life in abundance. If we're going to live into that name, then we need to be a people that is deeply invested in this community, this inward community. But we need not forget that what else Luke tells us in Acts is that this community was highly regarded by the outside community. They were known. They were appreciated. What they did together on the inside had an impact on the community on the outside. And that is who we are called to be. An abundant community that overflows its abundance out into the neighborhoods and communities and workplaces and schools and groups that we are a part of outside of what we do when we gather here together. And so, my friends, let's start making preparations now. Let's start preparing now to be the abundant community that God has called us to be, that we had visions of being 12 years ago and that we may have largely forgotten. Let's decide today to be an abundant life community. Let's pray together. Most holy God, for images of community, for promises of an open door, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the life of saints who have gone on before us to lead the way. We thank you for the challenge on our lives to be those who are sent, to be those who teach, to be those who break bread together, to be this abundant community. May it come to its fruition by the grace of Jesus Christ, by the presence of the Spirit in our midst. Guide us, challenge us, and prepare us for that day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Having heard the word of God proclaimed, we now have an opportunity to affirm what it is that we believe. So, people of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy universal church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.